a vote that could be a turning point in the union movement. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The United Auto Workers Union is trying to organize workers at foreign-owned car and truck factories in southern states. Today marks a pivotal point in that effort. Workers at a Volkswagen factory in Chattanooga, Tennessee, begin voting on whether to join the UAW. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
Organizing workers at Southern Auto Plants has been a long-sought and elusive goal for the UAW. It's been trying at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga for 10 years. This time, the effort comes after the union won generous labor agreements with Detroit's Big Three automakers, following a six-week strike last year. The deals include pay increases of 25%. The vote at VW is an important test. The UAW says there are similar efforts at Southern plants run by Mercedes, Hyundai, Toyota, and others. The union still faces tough challenges, though, including a hostile political environment. Republican governors from six states, including Tennessee, yesterday put out a statement opposing its efforts. Workers might also feel less compelled. That's because following the Detroit 3 deals, foreign automakers also hiked their wages at Southern plants. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
TGI Friday. Oh, it's only Wednesday. The restaurant chain TGI Fridays plans to list its new stock on the London Stock Exchange, this via a merger with its franchise operation in Britain. That's a bullish move at a time that shopping centers that are so often featuring these restaurants are facing challenges. Earlier this year, Friday said it's closing 36 U.S. restaurants. Marketplace's Matt Levin is on the casual dining beat today.
You know what people are still willing to spend their inflation-strapped budget on? Steak. And specifically, steak accompanied by a vaguely Texas ambiance.
Texas Roadhouse would be the one that seems to be outperforming, you know, no matter what the economic backdrop looks like.
Eric Gonzalez analyzes the casual dining industry for KeyBank Capital Markets. Texas Roadhouse has become a customer treat, something families are willing to indulge in, especially since cooking steak at home isn't so cheap. And while bone-in ribeyes are very attractive menu items, casual restaurant diners are spending less on alcohol than they used to. John Tower is an analyst with Citi.
What the industry is trying to grapple with is whether or not this is something that is a sustained trend or just going back to normalized levels, say pre-COVID level.
That could be bad news for TGI Fridays, home of those mudslide cocktails. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
In search of casual dining, I find putting the words diner or family restaurant into a map search pulls up the non-chain gems, adds variety, and often leads to pie right when you need it. Time to take the Marketplace Economic Pulse, views on the economy from a range of perspectives. Today, it's a more environmentally friendly approach to breaking down old buildings. Construction materials can be reused a lot of times, not just a vintage lintel. Even the concrete can be ground up and used in new paving. Recent research finds the construction industry responsible for about 30% of the total waste produced globally. One organization trying to change that is a nonprofit in Detroit called the Architectural Salvage Warehouse. Chris Rutherford is executive director there. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We get numbers all the time from the government on the construction industry. I think you're in the deconstruction business?
That's right. It's very similar, except it's in the reverse order. Instead of building a structure, we take it apart piece by piece. And construction and demolition debris is one of the largest contributors to landfills in the world. And so try to save and salvage every aspect that we can and transform waste into opportunities.
We used a salvaged sink when fixing up a kitchen once. Are you seeing people interested in the used stuff with character?
In Detroit, there are a lot of abandoned and blighted properties, and a lot of them have to come down. But you've got a variety of different outlets for the materials. So you've got the consumers who are looking at a low-cost way to, say, upgrade their kitchen. Or you've got a historic preservationist looking for some specific trim. You've got a number of businesses that we've helped incubate that use reclaimed materials. And so when you go into these old Detroit homes, what's really left is the beautiful old lumber that these homes were built with. You can make all sorts of wonderful things out of them and create jobs in Detroit and around the region.
Well, that's an especially interesting part of the work that you do, right? You do see that work as an engine for the local economy?
Absolutely. So when you look at deconstruction, you're creating 8 to 10 jobs over standard demolition. And then when you look at the downstream economic benefits of deconstruction, the reuse of those materials in the local economy, you're talking about 20 to 1 in jobs.
Government numbers show the labor market in America is still running strong. 8.8 million job openings were posted this winter. It's sometimes hard to find construction workers. What about finding deconstruction workers? Getting tougher to hire?
It is, yeah. I think that while the demand is growing, our capacity to take more down is getting more challenging. But it's a great pathway into the construction field. So a lot of our program participants move on to various construction trades, including unions and truck driving and CNC operators. But right now, yes, I think the market is pretty tight. So it makes it difficult to compete.
So there's an upside here if you can get the word out.
In Detroit and all around the country, it's a huge benefit economically, environmentally, socially. Preserving those materials and telling the story of them is a big, important part of it.
All right. A view from the deconstruction business. Chris Rutherford is executive director of Architectural Salvage Warehouse in Detroit. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The Marketplace Economic Pulse, regular checkups from a range of perspectives. More at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is our morning report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.